Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Edwards. Today, I'm joined by the quartet's Luke Turner, who's going to take me on a genre-jumping tour of some of the week's music releases. On the menu today, we have a Nigerian band Tau National's new LP, Zoi Zoi. We'll have a bit of post-punk with British band Wire's new self-titled album. And there's a spot of odd folk with One More Grain's first record since 2008, Grain Fever. That and more is all to come here on the Arts Review on Monocle 24. Let's begin in Niger, Luke, with Tau National. Just released a new record called Zoi Zoi. It's interesting. It's a group that's obviously enjoyed a lot of success on the home front in their home country. And this is their second record, I believe, to have sort of got an international release. What's been the international response? Because sometimes you get these almost discordant things where the international response is more enthused even than at home. How would you sort of characterise the reaction?
Yeah, I mean, it's always hard to gauge with these groups from Africa, just to sort of, because I think the context they're existing in the West is so different from how they're at home. Like Tau National, for instance, I think when they play at home, they'd have 16 musicians coming on off the stage. Their gigs can last between 6 and 10 hours, whereas on this record it's quite focused and song based. And so you just don't know really what the difference is. I mean, I always find it interesting talking to groups from Africa who come from just such a different universe, and how they sort of relate to the West and how that experience is. I mean, I think it seems to be more a critical thing. I mean, they seem to be playing bigger gigs now, Tau National. I've not actually seen them live. Presumably, they don't play for 6 to 10 hours.
I was going to say, at the Gala, get a marathon training in.
Our sort of rather depressingly formal approach to gig timings probably forbids that, sadly.
Yeah, there'd be someone in the council office saying, no.
Yes, that's yeah, exactly.
We'll talk maybe a bit more about the sort of international dynamic in a moment, but let's have a bit of a taster of the new album. This is Tau National. This is Tenere. Let's talk a bit about the process of this album, because it was recorded by Jamie Carter, who's Chicago-based producer, but at a sort of makeshift studio in Niger's capital. And it's interesting, I don't know if that's a bit of a response to maybe a lack of resources that someone comes in, or it just gets a bit of that different perspective, which is sort of what you were talking about before. Do you think we'll see more of that sort of collaboration?
Yeah,
happening?
I mean, there is quite a lot of it already. And what I like about what's happened with this one, it doesn't seem to have taken away any of the edge or what's interesting about the music. Sometimes, I mean, it's can be problematic. I think a little bit Western musicians working with African musicians, particularly producers, sort of putting a sort of Western identity onto it. But it does, I mean, for example, the group, brilliant group, Tenariwen from the Tauri group from the northern part of Mali, it's not safe for them to record in Mali anymore because of the Islamist movement out there, who obviously banned music and are sort of occupying a lot of the territory around where they're based. So they had to go to the desert in America to record it. And I interviewed them about it last year, and they felt they could do it there because it was the desert. It was like their desert at home, and they need the soul of the desert to be there. And I think that record very much worked. There was one track where you had a kind of American blues thing with it, and it just felt a bit jarring. But I really like this Tau National album because it feels like a sort of respectful job by the producer. And you know, at the end of the day, getting this music out there and getting it to the West and making sure these musicians are properly rewarded and paid for what they do, I think is really important. I mean, I always take all this music that's coming out of Africa and the Middle East at the moment is just such a brilliant riposte to all this sort of fusty old music critics and musicians who say, oh, everything's been done, there's nothing exciting. So we'll just listen to this. This is wonderful music. Because when we talk about them being international, they're international in a sort of outside Niger sense as well. They've got influences from high life, Afrobeat, some of the Tuareg desert blues. It's all going into what they do, and I think they're kind of, the sound is very pan-African, which is really exciting.
Definitely. Talk a little bit about some of the sort of personalities, the founder, the sort of the inspiration, I guess, of behind the band Hamadou Mumine, who's a proper polymath, like used to play football, he's a judge, he does charity work, he's the lead musician. Pretty amazing. Well, just a generally kind of an amazing character.
He is, yeah. I'd love to speak to him, actually, you can just sort of hear his relentless energy in the music, I think
it really comes across. In those 10-hour sessions as well.
In those 10-hour sessions, yeah. Maybe he's like the kind of James Brown or Marquis Smith of Tao National, and he's a real kind of, you know, you're not getting off the stage yet, Sonny.
He looks like a man who could carry off a tunic, definitely.
Yeah.
That's Zoi Zoi by Tao National, which is out now on Fat Cat Records. And that seems to get a pretty unanimous thumbs up from us. Let's move on, Luke, and talk a little bit about, British sort of punk group Wire, who've just released their 14th or 15th. There seems to be some debate about which album, which studio album this is.
The last one they kind of didn't, even though it was one of the best things they've done, it was a sort of reviving of fragments and ideas from their last gig, which was recorded and released as a record called Document and Eyewitness. And it was when they've always hated punk Wire, and went out of their way to annoy punks in their early gigs and what have you. And they sort of almost had a fourth album ready to go after their first three were relatively big successes, and they did a gig at the Electric Ballroom, which involved people hitting cookers and things like that, and you can hear everybody booing all the way through. But they took the fragments of songs that had already been done then, and that was Change Becomes Us, which was the last record, and this is so that I think that's one they're not quite sure whether it counts.
It's
even
hard.
Though it is very good.
Well, we're talking about genre defying, it's number defying as well on this show. Let's hear a track from this album. This is one which is called Joust and Jostle.
The Joust and Jostle, cook and roll there, bingo army, off the wall play, raise their hats, play, balance speak there, winding up they, smell the beef, crampons, ice picks, to that juice.
That's a bit of Joust and Jostle from Wire's new album. There's a lot of sort of talk about Britishness when it comes to great sort of music tracks, and you know what's quintessentially British. Do you think Wire is a quintessentially British act? Would they not thank you for that? That moniker.
I'm not sure whether they would actually. Not sure quite what they'd thank you for. I mean, that was the Quietest Review actually. They talked very interestingly about Englishness in Wire, and because I think Englishness is a very loaded term, isn't it? Because it can mean sort of oiky, blur, lager throwing, mockney, laddie, unpleasantness, and obviously Blur, a group who stole a huge amount from Wire. As many have. And I think Wire's Englishness is more of a sort of sardonic, wry, irony in a good way, observational, slightly dark humour version of Englishness, which I very much like. It's very arty and also pop, which, you know, that's what Britain always often was very good at. I think perhaps it's something that we've lost a little bit, sort of wry art pop with a sort of strong intellectual edge, which Wire very much have. I mean, they, as I was saying, you know, they really did wind up punks who just wanted to jump up and down and listen to their song 1-2-XU, which was kind of like an XU to punk in itself. And they've not actually made things easy for themselves. There's a lot of, you know, groups of their era who'll come back and play classic albums and do all this. Wire have sort of constantly refused to do that. They very rarely play that many old songs. When they do, they sort of bludgeon them to death. And I really admire that for them. They've not made things easy for themselves. But you look at their influence. Britpop, most of those groups, as I was saying, Blur ripped them off. Elastica directly ripped them off. But they also influenced a huge number of electronic music artists, techno, all sorts. They have a very big influence relative to sort of how many records they've sold or people who've heard of them.
Well, no, there you go. It's interesting what you said about the sort of sardonic, that wryness, a bit more cleverness about the commentary. Do you think is this a great album about modern England then, or modern Britain?
I think so. Or it's about modern life. They're very good at observing. Like, there's a song on there called Blogging, which I remember when I first heard them play it. I mean, they'd only just put out the last album. They did a gig and they're already playing new songs, which is sort of the way why I go. And I was like, Blogging, oh dear, this is such a, that's just the most sort of topically naff title. How is this going to work? But it's Graham Lewis, the bass player, wrote the lyrics for that one, and it was sort of, it's actually a very clever. It's conflating sort of religion. You know, I think there's a Blogging Like Jesus, Tweet Like the Pope is one of the lyrics. And it's just a very kind of wry, interesting observation on actually American life, that one, and religion and its all-pervasive influence on life and its presence online and things like that. So they do, I mean, our review very much sort of took it as a State of the Nation based in England address. I'm not sure whether why I would agree, but it's an interesting reading of the record.
Definitely. That's Wire's new self-titled album. That's out now on Pink Flag Records. Let's ease towards the end of the show, Luke, and talk a little bit. Well, let's move to the potentially the slightly madder fringes of folk. Grain Fever, the new album from One More Grain. What can you tell us about this, Luke?
One More Grain is led by a man called Daniel Patrick Quinn, who I think is one of the greatest musicians Britain has produced over the past 10 years. Also one of the most obstinate and a wonderful character, really. He lives now up next to the runway at Stornoway Airport, just making this music. 6 years ago, after One More Grain did their last album, Isle of Grain, he decided to quit making music and went to Indonesia to collect volcanoes, which is volcano bagging, where you climb all the volcanoes in Indonesia and teach English. And then he decided to come back, move to the middle of nowhere in Stornoway, and revived One More Grain, and recorded a brilliant solo album, but under the name Daniel Patrick Quinn last year, called Acting the Rubber Pig, which is wonderful and odd. And so he's done this without that many instruments, that the rhythms of him punching the walls of his cottage, just all this sort of homemade sounds, also working with a trumpeter called Dr. Blick, whose main job is researching geopolitics and the Magna Carta and the limits of democracy.
It's the usual sort of
They're
thing
a wonderful
here,
collection yeah. of people. And I think One More Grain, the only people who ever tend to go on about them is sort of me and Stuart Lee, the comedian. It's the sort of music that just that is not fashionable. It never will be. He's not part of a scene. He's not a cozy individual who people want to kind of hang out with. He doesn't want to hang out with other people. But he's a proper sort of. You don't want to use words like eccentric because it's a bit patronising. But he just doesn't fit in. He's a square peg, and there's round holes everywhere these days.
Yeah.
And I think it's a real shame because. With a bit of record label bravery, groups like One More Grain, artists like Daniel Quinn, could be successful. They just need a bit of a investment. So he's done all this entirely by himself, this album, and he's put it up on his Bandcamp, and you can buy it. And then hopefully there'll be a vinyl release, and he's already planning the next one. But he had these wonderful ways of describing it, like totalitarian Kaylee, which I thought was a...
That's quite brilliant.
Yeah, he's a good writer as well. Yeah.
Essentially, you make that remark about, you know, if record labels were, you know, a bit more daring. There's actually a quote in the Quietest piece about this, and he's talking about whether this might be the next album might be a chance of getting a genuine success. Mm. He's always wondering that. Do you think that it's one of those things where, you know, maybe he's happier not enjoying that success? If it was sort of propelled more into the mainstream, that's less comfortable operating ground.
Oh, no, he'd love to be successful. Dan believes that his music can reach a lot of people, and I agree with it. I think the trouble is now is a lot of the kind of gatekeepers, it's very hard to push things through and get into the mainstream media now with music that's seen as niche, and I think that's a real shame. It happens a lot all over the place. I say something like One More Grain is always... is going to come victim of that. I mean, to my mind, these are really wonderful sort of deranged folk pop songs, very psychedelic, genuine psychedelic, rather than sort of boys with paisley shirts, which is all the rage at the moment.
Let's take a little bit of a listen from the record One More Grain. This is Leg Stomper.
A coaxing hole from a dark and funny recess. It's a premonition. Expect complete subservience as I stomp my legs down and do worships. There will be no deserters for this leg stomper, the stomper, all the jerkers.
You mentioned Stuart Lee, Luca, but earlier he said that Quinn's the best bet for a next generation British cult figure who can continue surprising us for 10, even 20 years.
I think
do you go along with that?
Yeah.
I sense that you will do.
Yeah, I do. I mean, if you listen to, I mean, One More Grand, probably closer to Tal National than Wire in some ways. You know, that's the what's interesting about them is the sort of, it is all over the place, that music. Perhaps that's why it's harder to get. But I do think if as long as he doesn't run off to Indonesia to climb more volcanoes, or even if he does, I think there's going to be more records from Dan Quinn. And I just sort of hope somebody can sort of spot that and, you know, help him with it a little bit.
Absolutely. And you mentioned he's punching the wall on some. There's people who have credits on the album for playing The Insects.
Yeah.
Microwaves. Presumably you can also, you know, they can bang out a tune on some more conventional instruments as well.
Yeah, yeah. He's a great guitarist and very, he has weird ways of playing, great lyric writer. No, fantastic artist. Brilliant.
Let's end on an upbeat note. That's Grain Fever by One More Grain, out on May the 11th. If you fancy a bit of leg stomping, it comes recommended. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to my guest, Luke Turner, Associate Editor at The Quietus. You've been listening to The Monocle Arts Review with me, Tom Edwards. Thanks to our producer, Holly Fisher. Join us again at the same time tomorrow. We'll be talking through film releases. But in the meantime, thanks for tuning in.